Good evening and welcome. It's KVC Arts, arts and entertainment, as well as the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming. The sole focus of tonight's KVC Arts is music from and conversation with Brian Hyland. He's been on the show in the past talking about his early hits, Itsy Bitsy, Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini, Sealed with a Kiss, and more. Tonight, though, we'll hear about some of the Brian Hyland material we didn't touch on before, his Christmas releases, some special collections available at his website, and a lot of new material, starting with this one, You Got a Message.
Somebody told me that you got to be lonely when you just sit and think of yourself. There's lots of worries, we're all in a hurry, just trying to be something else. You got a message from the one. You got a message, there's been a message for you. You got a message from the one up above. That's the best you can do.
You Got a Message. This may be the most recent, or it's certainly amongst the most recent.
It is the most recent, yes.
Okay. Now, with lyrics like, is that the best you can do, and there's some of this stuff going on within this song, was this by chance written around the time of the COVID pandemic? Although I have to say many of the lyrics could easily apply to any difficult time.
No, actually, I started writing this song in New Orleans when I was down there working with Alan Toussaint. Actually, I had the first verse and some of the chorus. I actually played it for him in his office, and he said, hey, that's pretty good. You got something there. And so that kind of inspired me, and I finished pretty much the whole song. And then I kind of left it, you know, and I didn't mess with it for a while. And then this summer, I was revisiting some of the stuff that I had from other recordings of that I had, you know, demos. And then I thought, wow, I'm going to redo that and add some new things to it and a new groove, too.
So this was, you said, when you were with Alan Toussaint. So this is back from when you were doing the In a State of Bayou.
Correct. That album. It was 1979, 78, 79.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So this is really revisiting something from way back. I do that with drawings and all that, so I can really see that.
That's good.
In You Got a Message, there's that point of the breakdown, you know, where much of the instrumentation is just stripped away briefly.
Yeah.
And you hear this, open your head, open up your eyes, the man in the mirror, he's never satisfied. I've got oftentimes questions about the inception of songs, and when this one was coming together, of course, this one goes back way further than I originally thought, but this part of it, is this a reaffirmation? Is it a, hey, you've got quite literally a message from the Lord? What is going on, please?
The whole song, in my mind, is about self-reliance, reliance on yourself.
Okay. Because in there, you say, not only are you saying you've got a message, but there's also, there's been a message. So there's a reflection, it's not just current. It's saying there's something that's been with you, inside of you.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. You've got a message. You've got a message.
Now, I would presume that you have Bodhi in on drums, is that right?
Well, I did the whole thing myself in my studio, I used all kinds of different drum loops and tambourines and all kinds of different things. And the guitar, I put the guitar on, just kind of put it all together. It just seemed to come out really nice, and I'm really happy with it.
Well, as well you should be. This is amongst my favorite couple of the new ones that I ran across. You Got a Message. So that's you on both rhythm guitar and then overdubbing the lead.
Correct.
Oh, nice, yes. Nice. There is questions every time, every so often, between the self-titled release and on this one. I thought of you as a singer, and you played guitar, but then All Along the Watchtower. I will hit that one later, but okay. The photography, by the way, used for You Got a Message. This is out on social media, brianhyland.com, and you can find a picture of this. The photography for that, it looks like you out in Joshua Tree or the high desert somewhere.
It was up by Lucerne Valley. My son Bodhi took that picture.
Okay.
We went up there and got a couple of comments. They said, where's your amp? Yeah, somebody always says that.
Yeah, yeah. So we're talking about Bodie Hyland. He is your son, he is your drummer, he is your driver, he's also your photographer.
Right, and yeah. Bodie was in high school, he was the school photographer for the class. He went to all the sporting events, so he got a lot of practice.
Oh, this isn't just then your kid helping you out, this is a guy that knows his stuff.
Okay, he knows
wonderful.
His stuff, yeah.
Walk the Walk, another one of your very recent tunes. It starts with a heavy couple of beats, just a couple, then into the groove. And this has a similar feel as You Got a Message. I'm not saying it sounds the same, but rather I want to know if this was written around the same time or finished the same time.
No. No? This was from about maybe 2 years back, maybe 3 years back. I revisited this song also because I have this new program. It's from Apple called Logic. I'm using that, and I really like it. It's really easy to work in, so I use that program for that one also.
Just having access to new technology is really helping you re-realize
some
tunes.
It's fantastic. You can do so many things. You can have alternate mixes, and you can do a mix and run it off and then listen to it while you're watching television.
Oh, no,
I think I should change that. But you have the capability to do that right up to the last minute before you hit the button for the final mix. But that's one of the problems, that you can keep adding little things. Oh, I think I should do that. I think I should do that. You have to, at a certain point, say, that's enough. That's going to be it.
Otherwise, I suppose when you go to perform it live, it's no longer Brian and a guitar. You have to bring in the person on the timpani or whatever.
Right. Yeah, you got a whole bunch of, like Leon Russell.
Yeah.
I did a session with Leon, and the first time I worked with him, he flew in there with Snuff Garrett. They flew in, and we recorded a song called 3,000 Miles, which is on one of those albums that I did.
Mm-hmm.
We had a rhythm section, Pal and the Prophets from Philadelphia, and they were a really good band, and they were doing a lot of stuff up at the studio at Mercury Records, because they had their own studio right there at the record company.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
And that's where we did the 3,000 Miles. But Leon came in, and he played timpani and drums, just like you said. He played the piano, and then they slowed it down. And then he played guitar, and they sped it up. He did all these, like, studio tricks because he learned a lot of stuff working with Phil Spector.
Oh, yeah.
He was great in the studio.
Nice. Yeah. We were talking about Walk the Walk. I really appreciated that it goes for a full maybe 30 seconds before any of the lyrics begin. That's just something I appreciate. We get sometimes too quickly into the song, and this really sets it up and gets it going. Now, again, though, is this you on lead guitar?
Yes.
Oh, nice. Something within Walk the Walk, this is some of the phrasing, I think. You never really get over it. You're going to have to walk that walk and do the right thing. Is there something actually specific that you're talking about, what you never get over or never get used to, as you're stating later?
It's just life. That was the general idea.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
So Walk the Walk is really just holding yourself true, or just make it through whatever's thrown at you?
Yeah, that's a good way of saying it, yeah. I went to the fortune teller to have my fortune read. I didn't know what to tell her. The dizzy feeling in my head. Looked into a crystal ball, said, "You're in love."
I hope to get a good story on this one, Fortune Teller. This is another one of the new ones, and I found funny without being a novelty song. It's a story, another cool story from you. And what I've also been finding is getting away from the early Itsy Bitsy and Sealed with a Kiss and all the early hits for you, is we started to get to hear you as a storyteller. And this comes through time and time again, Mail Order Gun. There's all sorts of just wonderful things that come through with you telling a story. And this one, again, I found it really funny. It starts off with a visit to a fortune teller, and Well, why don't you tell the story? I've got it written here, but if I tell it, you would just be left to say, well, yeah.
The song was written by Alan Toussaint.
Okay, another one.
Alan wrote that, and it's been recorded by a lot of different people. The Rolling Stones did a version. There's all kinds of versions of that song. And Alan also was doing it in his live set on a couple of PBS specials. I think he did it. Anyway, so the song is about going to the fortune teller, and then fortune teller tells you you're going to meet this girl. And then he goes out, and the fortune teller, he says, the fortune teller told me a lie. And then he's back, and he's with the fortune teller again. And then he realizes the fortune teller, she's talking about herself. And then he says, I'm married to the fortune teller, and I get my fortune told for free.
Married to the fortune teller. We're happy as we can be. And I get my fortune told for free.
On the house.
That was one of the times I choked on my coffee. I get your fortune told for free. It may or may not be a euphemism for something else there.
My wife, Rosemary, at the time, who's now passed away, she put this line in there, on the house.
That's okay. That's just something, if people are going to listen to that and just listen for it. That's going to be just one of those moments, and you know it or not. That's really
cool.
You
did it really good.
That's beautiful. Beautiful. Another one of the new ones is One Beautiful Day. And this is something that, gosh, I love this one for different reasons. Mainly on this one is the build involved. It starts off with these congas or I don't know, something similar. With then just these couple of chords which start to build upward but then come back down into a minor thing. I just really love it when a song takes an unexpected turn. And this one right from the beginning. Was this you just really feeling out the chord, coming through, trying to be atypical?
I like those kind of chords, and I'm sort of a big fan of bossa nova music. And I've played down in Argentina. I never played in Brazil. I always wanted to do some gigs there. But there was a couple of Brazilian artists. There's João Gilberto. Like, he invented the bossa nova kind of sound of just a guitar and a voice and very soft voice without a lot of vibrato. And that was his whole thing, and actually developed that whole style in his sister's bathroom. It's a really odd story, but he developed that whole style. And then he worked with Antonio Carlos Jobim and other arrangers, and the whole thing of bossa nova. Anyway, so those chords, I love the chord progressions in a lot of those songs. And so on that song, the idea for that came to me. I was watching when Paul McCartney talked about when his wife Linda died. And he was saying that, like, the week before she got really sick, I guess it was, and that they were in Arizona riding horses. And he said, and it was a beautiful day. And I thought, just having one beautiful day, that could be enough sometimes.
Wow.
That's how I got that idea for that, and I just took it from there.
So this one, I don't know, it felt almost like a tune which came to you, and then the lyrics came after, or were these maybe separate events that you then folded together?
I folded it together, yeah.
Okay.
That's a good way of saying.
Wow, nice. And this is, again, One Beautiful Day. It's just a beautiful tune. These other ones have a certain groove to it and certain drive, and again, there's a nice variety of these tunes. You don't find one certain thing. and I've really been enjoying going into the new stuff as much as the old.
And if the whole world just melted away, melted away, we'd still have this one beautiful day, beautiful day.
One of several new tunes from Brian Hyland there, One Beautiful Day. We also heard and heard about Walk the Walk, Fortune Teller, and we went into this hour with You Got a Message. All new recordings from Hyland, with a few more to get to as KVC Arts continues. We'll also hear about his Christmas releases and the Brian Hyland Triple Threat collections. You're listening to KVC Arts on 91.9 KVCR, streaming at kvcrnews.org. I'm David Fleming. The focus of tonight's program is music from and conversation with Brian Hyland. Back to some of Hyland's new material.
People keep dreaming about places they've never been. Pie in the sky come tomorrow, such a sin. Why don't we all get together? Can begin. Let's make the best of this world we're in.
The best of this world. This is a beautiful but simple tune. That is the message of the tune. Let's make the best of this world we're in. Now, again, this one feels like something where the words were there, and then you needed something to back the message.
It's another song, in a way, like Walk That Walk and You Got a Message. It's in a similar kind of vein, but it's like, let's make the best of this world we're in. That was the key part of it, that we're here. It's here already. So let's do something.
Let's make the best of this world we're in.
That part, why don't we all get together so we can begin to make the best of this world we're in? This is the phrase that wrote the song.
Correct, yeah, the world we're in, that was the idea.
This one is more keyboard driven, if I recall, and so again, this is you on the keyboards. We'll just be over addressing it, but why not? On each of these tunes, this is all you. There's no points where you brought in somebody else, Bodhi, to relay to the drums or anything.
No, I did. It's embarrassing, but I did the whole thing, yeah, myself. You know, with these programs that you have, like I was saying about Logic from Apple, you know, you can just mess around with something like that and come up with things, you know, and you could listen to it back and say, oh, no, I'm going to change that. But with the keyboard, I like playing the keyboard and I like coming up with nice chords.
You said this is embarrassing. This is rather impressive. It's one thing to have an idea for a song and then have to find five guys to help it be realized.
Right. You know, like when I did the album with Del Shannon, the one called Brian Hyland, that one, a lot of the tunes, we had the guys come in. It was Russ Kunkel on drums and Brian Garofalo on bass, and we used Lee Sklar on a couple of tracks. That was the thing there. But actually, in those cases, they came out to Del's house, which was really nice. And I had never done that before. Usually, the drill was that you meet all the musicians at the session and hand out the charts, and so nobody has any kind of heads up.
Wow.
Let's make the best of this world we're in. Make the best of this world we're in.
Another one that involves Bodhi once again, this is I Want It All.
I never wanted anything until I looked into your eyes. Perfect love, so hard to find. Found each other just in time. Made it through. Find your way to
We spoke about this one when this tune, I think, was brand new. That was about a year ago.
Right.
And this one was written, you said, by you and Bodie. Something, what, you were driving, you said, I want this or that, and he was like, I want it all.
That's exactly right. And we were driving into Victorville on Highway 66, and we're just talking. I can't remember what we're talking about. And he said, oh, no, I want it all. And so I said, hey, that's a great title. You know, and I just kept that in my mind. After all. My dream come true. Kids, I'm loving you, 'cause I want it all.
I recall you saying that it was written very much for your wife, but you did keep it general to a certain extent. That is, being able to apply to more people, so that it's not just a song by and for.
Yes, it was. Yeah, you know, my wife was like my inspiration in a lot of things. And that song particularly, I had her in mind.
Is that something that you find yourself doing? I don't mean writing about her, but writing a song that is very personal, but then finding places where I need to rewrite this so that more people can feel it?
Right.
Is this something that you go through?
Sure. You always have that in your mind that you don't want it to be so specific. Like when you're using a person's name even, that kind of pins it down to like one person. I mean, that's just the way I do it, but I feel that way, that you should open it up and have it so that other thoughts and other ideas can come into it.
Okay. Well, with these new ones out, and there are, I don't know, half a dozen or so by now, or maybe a little bit more than that, but we spoke about folks just cherry-picking songs these days, you know, with individual downloads. Not as many people are interested in the full album. I wish people would get back to that, and I'm glad to see it when it does happen. But with these, you have plenty of new ones by now. And so with more songs in place, any thoughts on putting these bunch of new tunes into one album or CD?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're going to do. On these last six tracks that we were talking about, we're going to take those and we're going to add a couple, maybe some new things, have about probably 10 or 11, and put it out as a package, all of them.
Oh, fantastic. Wow. Don't know what I do.
I'm afraid to go home. I'm afraid to go home. Worries on my mind. Of what I'll find.
I do recall that there's one that is a re-recording of one of your older tunes.
I'm afraid to go home.
That's it.
I like the way that came out because I took out the drums and I just had some percussion instruments in there. And I added some other aspects to it. I played the harmonica part. I added a string part to it also, which wasn't on the original record. I was really proud of that record when it came out. You know, I didn't know it was going to be a hit or anything like that, but just as a song, to actually record that song was a kick. And I came in from the road. I was out on the road, and I came back in and went up to the office of the writers, and they said, oh, we have this new song. It's about the Civil War. And he played it. Gary Gill, he played it on the piano. I said, man, you know, this is some song. This is like, for right at that particular point in time, there wasn't any other songs like that, about the Civil War especially. So I was always very proud of that record.
That's one of the cool things about that song. It became maybe my favorite Brian Hyland song, by the way. I've listened to that one over and over and over and over. But the thing about that one is, it's again a great Brian Hyland storytelling song. And you don't even realize at first that this is a Civil War thing. At
right.
first, it could be, oh, life on the road on this 18 yeah, city, you know,
sure.
whatever, this tour.
Yeah.
But then we get to that line, Sherman's been to our town,
burned it all
to the ground.
Right.
Yeah, and then suddenly, oh, my God, no, this is a Civil War, and you want to go back and re-listen about this guy at the end of a...
Yeah, it's a nice loop.
Yeah.
Going back to the town.
Wow.
I'm afraid for the scrubby pines, all the sweet honeysuckle vines. I'm afraid for my home, for the fields that I roam. Kick along down a homeward road, and your heart's gotta take a load. I'm afraid of the home. I'm afraid to go home. Sherman's been in my town, burned it all to the ground. Now there's not a tree between Memphis and the sea. Now there's not a tree between Memphis and the sea.
I'm David Fleming in conversation with Brian Hyland. We just heard about several tunes which are new songs or reimagining of previous recordings, and a very special one that I was glad that's on tape, as it were. Later, his Christmas releases, cool new projects, and more. You're listening to KVC Arts on 91.9 KVCR, streaming at kvcrnews.org. I'm David Fleming. Find many past KVC Arts programs via podcast through iTunes, NPR One, Spotify, and Google Play, and most past shows are at kvcrnews.org/arts. Now, going on to just a few of the other things, if we could, when I saw you perform close to this time in early November of 2019, this was at the most recent concert in this region put on by Affordable Music Productions, and just to paint the picture entirely for folks listening, this featured Dodie Stevens, Bobby Rydell, Ray and Jill, better known as Paul and Paula, and Jimmy Clapton and the Modern Gentlemen. So it's, quote, that type of music. So you, of course, featured music from the earlier side of your career. But then at the end, I've talked about this moment several times to several people. I keep describing this to people as the point where Bodie put down the brushes and picked up the extra heavy sticks, and we got into All Along the Watchtower. The lights started flash, and we started getting the wah pushing out further on the guitar. Is this a mainstay as far as closers go? This is one that just gets people pumped. I don't care what age a person is.
Yeah, it's great. I love that song. And we've done that song on tours over with Bobby V and with Peter Noon over in the UK.
Mm.
It's a great song. It levels everything out. It's nice.
And this is included on the Triple Threats. And so this is, I believe, a person would have to go to your website maybe to find the Triple Threat releases. What I'm talking about here is certain combinations of numbers really strike me sometimes, and with these Triple Threats, it's really a trifecta of trifectas, if you will. Three Triple Threat collections, each of them with three tunes on them.
Right.
Are these available as CDs somewhere, or just digital download kinds of things?
Downloads.
Okay, just downloads on those ones. So we've got things like I'm Afraid to Go Home and Sealed with a Kiss, and we just mentioned All Along the Watchtower. Thank goodness. Because I was describing that moment in the concert that I was just talking about, and I told somebody, man, I wish I could play you a version of this. There it is.
That version that's on there is from the London Palladium. The lead guitar on that is R. Stevens, who was Bobby V's guitar player for a long time. He was a fantastic guitar player, and that was our closer at the London Palladium when we played there. It was a great place to play, too.
I think a person can find video clips of this night that you're talking about. I couldn't tell you at this point if it's a quality recording or somebody holding up their phone from the eighth row after some bourbon or whatever.
All along the watchtower, princess kept in view. While the women came and went, they would service you.
This one is available out there, not only as part of the Triple Threat collections, but just a person goes YouTubing and you can find it there as well.
We have some friends over in the UK that went to a lot of those shows and put a lot of the clips up. And so if people are looking for that, it's Brian Hyland, Rock City.
Rock City.
Because every night I would say that on stage, Rock City. Peter Noon thought that was pretty cool. But there's a whole mess of them from different cities in the UK, up in Scotland, up in Inverness was a really good one. That was the last night of our tour. By that time, the band was like super cooking. And that was a good band also that we worked with. But on that one, it was Vanity Fair. They were the backup band. And the guitar player was so good. He was left-handed, too. He was unbelievable guitar player.
Again, this is stuff that you can find going YouTubing and also on the triple threat discs. What governed, by the way, the choice of what tunes to put in with these triple threats? Was it as simple as, hey, this is cool, it needs to be out there?
No, it was, I did a whole bunch of songs. I had this idea, which I got from Stevie Wonder, and I don't know if I told you that before, but
no.
Early on, when I first started having my own studio in my house, I read an article about Stevie Wonder, and he said that he never stops recording. He records all the time, and then when he's finished a song, he puts it in the library, he calls it. So then when he's got an album coming up, he just goes in the library and says, oh, this one, this one, this one. And so he's got them already. And so I thought that was a really cool way to approach when you have a studio at your house. Just keep recording all the time. And so there were other songs that we decided not to put on those, but those were the ones that we were most happy with.
Wow, I never thought about Stevie Wonder doing that. Not writing an album for the purpose of the album, maybe with this particular theme or element or something going on. This is really just, okay, what do I have? I need 79 minutes. Okay, go.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm Afraid to Go Home, Sealed with a Kiss. These are two re-recordings of these past mega hits of yours. So were these just at one point re-recordings just for the sake of playing it and feeling good about it and you just happen to be recording? Or was it, okay, I want to reimagine this. I want a different version of it. I want to put this out again differently.
That's what it was, reimagining those songs. And I added some different instrumentation on I'm Afraid to Go Home. And Sealed with a Kiss, I stuck pretty much to the original arrangement. You know, I didn't really vary from that. But on I'm Afraid to Go Home, I thought I could elaborate that a little more and make it sound more moody and more like put you into the head of that boy going home, the soldier. That's what I tried to do.
Whether it's a re-recording, that is something that folks listening will have to watch out for and listen for, I should maybe say it better, in that you're not just getting an updated version of the same old song.
Yes, it's gonna be a cold, lonely summer, but I'll fill the emptiness. I'll send you all my love every day in a letter sealed with a kiss, sealed with a kiss, sealed with a kiss.
There's another song, David, that we did, which another one I rearranged, and it's called If Mary's There.
I won't be there if Mary's there. I'm still in love with her. I couldn't bear to see her there. I'd be alone and blue, she'd be with someone new. Without a care, I won't be there if Mary's there. I love her too much. We'd be with just a kiss away, never ever touched. It isn't fair to ask me there. I know I'll only cry. I won't be there if Mary's there. I'll love her till I die.
The original one I always thought was too short, and the ending was too abrupt. And so I added some stuff to that. I added a guitar part in the middle because the arranger on that was Stan Applebaum, who did Stand By Me, did all these songs for the Drifters and Benny King, and he was fantastic. I worked with him on a couple of songs. So I added a guitar part where there was a string solo in the middle. I like the way that came out too.
Oh, yeah.
It was just reimagining that whole arrangement too.
Okay, wonderful.
I couldn't bear to see you there. I'll only cry. No, I won't be there. If Mary's there, I'll love her till I die.
It's music from and conversation with Brian Hyland for the entirety of tonight's KVCR. It's on 91.9 KVCR, streaming at kvcrnews.org. I'm David Fleming. Let's go now back to Brian Hyland. He has a lot of new material out, and we touched on that earlier. More at brianhyland.com. That's Brian with an I and Hyland with a Y. Just add working with J.J. Cale, Alan Toussaint, and Lala Brooks. Right now, just in time for the season, specifically the Christmas season.
The road is long with many a winding turn that leads us to who knows where, who knows where. But I'm strong enough to carry him in heaven.
You have a couple of Christmas releases. Originally, there was the Blue Christmas, and then we have also another Blue Christmas. I don't know if you were kidding earlier or not when you said the next one is going to be, okay, yet another Blue Christmas.
Yeah, right.
I think it should be. I don't know whether or not that was a joke. I still don't know. You haven't answered that. But I think it's a great name for one. Here we are doing it again. Christmas. Hey, that's a little bit too
every
puzzle.
Year.
On the first one, on the Blue Christmas release, there's Santa, Oh Santa. There's a couple of very traditional Christmas tunes. But I noted that you also included He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother, the Monster Hollies hit.
Yeah.
And so now, just only as we speak, I'm rethinking it to maybe apply it to the Christmas season.
Yeah.
So talk to me about that, please.
Well, I met Bobby Scott. He's the guy that wrote that. And my wife, me and Rosemary, we had lunch with him in New York. At, I think it was the Carnegie Tavern, if I remember correctly. It was a really nice place to have lunch. So we talked to him, and he brought up the fact that he wrote that song, He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother. And I liked the way the Hollies did it, and so I tried to do it a little different, but I used a harmonica in it also. And I like singing that song. I'll tell you another thing. This is interesting. The band that we worked with the last time with Peter Noon, the guitar player in the band, Glenn Leon, who is really a great singer. I mean, every night I'd stand on the side and watch him, and he would do that song. It was like, how am I going to follow that?
Right.
And they just, I guess the right term is that they brought in the kitchen sink with the arrangement.
Wow.
They had, you know, they just brought everything in for the last part of that song, and it just sounded so great. I did that before he did it. I mean, my version of that song. I never actually told him that I recorded that song. I was embarrassed because he did it so good.
Oh, he didn't know? Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
But, you know, that was a crazy story.
That's excellent. Oh, wow.
He's my brother. People running, shopping, buying everything in sight. Buying alcoholic beverages for the big night. Little children making lists of things they want to get. Parents sitting, taking aspirins, getting quite upset. Snow is falling on the ground, cars are sliding all around. It's Christmas time once again.
Well, another one that I have to look at, this is, I'm not sure if it's on the same Blue Christmas release or if this was just a single. This one goes back to 1967. Christmas Time Once Again.
Right.
And so this is one of your tunes. You wrote this. And this is, again, a funny, funny tune. I want to say not so much that it's thrown into the novelty category, but maybe. I mean, with some of the stuff that goes on. So now we're talking 53 years back on this song. Can you recall putting this one together, just writing out the things? What happened? How did this one?
I was on a tour with Jackie DeShannon and Peter and Gordon, a whole bunch of different people. So I started working on that song on the tour, and it was like, I guess it was in the summertime or whatever. So I just started thinking about, maybe I'm going to write a Christmas song, tried to write a Christmas song, and just came up with some of those ideas.
Snow is falling on the ground, cars are sliding all around, it's Christmas time once again. Beggars on the street say Merry Christmas for a dime, but if they're caught, they're thrown in jail or made to pay a fine. I don't think that too many of them have enough to pay, so they're probably locked up all alone on Christmas Day. Snow is falling on the ground, cars are sliding all around, it's Christmas time once again.
I had that in my mind for a while, and then I played it for Dan Burgoyes, who worked with Del Shannon. He ran the publishing company for Del. And I played it for him, and he said, oh, you ought to record that. And this was like in November of that year. And so I was working with Snuff Garrett. So I said, all right, that's a good idea. So I went over to Snuff's office and I played it for him. He said, oh, this is great. Let's record it. And so we set up a session. But then they were getting all this flack from the record company saying, oh, you got to put out Christmas songs way in front. And you have to have them all, you know, ready to go like in September even. So this was later in the game. So anyway, we went and did it up in North Hollywood at a studio there. And J.J. Cale was the engineer. He was working for Snuff at that studio. And he was a great engineer also, besides everything else he did. So we put that out. But in, like you said, it was kind of a lighthearted take on Christmas.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you're talking about writing down Christmas elements, things about Christmas, okay, people might talk about Santa or the sleigh bells or the whatever. People might talk about the beautiful snow, but if I'm not mistaken, and I wish I had the lyrics in front of me, you're not just talking about the snow, you're talking about cars starting to skid.
Yeah, right.
You're talking about beautiful gifts under the tree. Some people might say you're talking about mom and dad are spending their MasterCard.
Right.
It's another side of Christmas.
Yeah, right. So I thought that was funny, but, you know, it was so kind of real, too.
It was very real and very funny also. So is it the two Blue Christmas releases then so far?
Okay. Just the two, yeah.
Okay, all right. Something that we didn't touch on, and this is not going to get the attention that it deserves because this is, like the self-titled Brian Hyland release, this is a great album through and through, and now we're talking about In a State of Bayou. And this one involves so much of Alan Toussaint. Talk to me, first of all, about how you even ended up in any kind of partnership. How did you hook up with Alan? That's a simple way of asking.
It's kind of a great question. I was looking for songs to record, like coming up for a recording session, and I went to a publisher in Hollywood, and they handled Alan's songs. And they played me a bunch of songs, and I didn't like any of them. And then they played a song that was a demo, I guess it was a demo, by Lee Dorsey. Okay. And it was Freedom for the Stallion.
Okay.
And I listened to it, and I said, I've never heard any song like that before. It was such an unusual song. And in the middle, it had like the New Orleans march when they're bringing somebody in to
that
die.
That second line kind of
second line
feel.
Thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, Alan told me that they used humming on that. The girls in the background hum, and all in harmony. Anyway, so I was just taken by that song. And so I got a hold of some of his albums that I could at that time. And I listened to some of the other things he had. And I said, I'd like to work with Alan Toussaint. He's fantastic. So that year, I was doing some different things. They re-released Seal with a Kiss in England, and it went up in the top of the charts again as a 45, and this is in 1975. And so anyway, we were down in the South, and so we just flew in there to New Orleans, and we set up an appointment. And he was very nice, and I talked to him, and I said, you know, I'd like to do some stuff. So time elapsed after that. He said he was agreeable to that. But we didn't know, you know, how we were going to approach the project or what project it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And so then we moved down there, and Rosemary and I moved down there, and eventually we got in to record those tracks with him. So it was unbelievable working with him and watching him work with other artists, because a bunch of other artists came in there while we were down there. For instance, Etta James, she came in. We hung out with Etta James and one of her horn players, I guess, for a couple of days. And she was a really nice, sweet person. And man, when she got in the studio to start singing, it was like, you know, she was like Etta James.
Yeah.
You know, and she was so soulful and so unique. And every song that she did became an Etta James song, like no doubt about it. I love the way she sang. And Jerry Wexler was there when Etta was there. But anyway, so we got in finally to record some stuff, and we had a couple of our own tunes that I wrote with Rosemary, my wife. There was tunes that we liked, and they played a bunch of songs for us that there were tracks already made, and we used those, and I laid my vocal on those. So it all came together pretty quick.
The tunes, I believe you and your wife Can't Find a Way to Love You and
right.
Don't Want to Discuss It.
And Killing Me.
Ah, and Killing Me. Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. We've got Alan's name on that one.
Yeah, that was a mistake there.
Okay. Ah. Hey, there's a cool bit of trivia, folks. This is not Alan Toussaint's tune at all. How did you and Rosemary work together as far as when you were writing the songs? Was it very much the same process we were talking about with you and Del, just sitting down, coffee, bourbon, just there's the kitchen table?
Yeah, Rosemary would really help me with the words. That was the main, and I would, you know, play different things for her. And, you know, I could tell, you know, if it wasn't happening. She'd, oh, no, you know. But for the most part, she helped me with lyrics, and she wrote poetry in college. So she was very adept at words.
It's a great partnership to have in that. To either supply you with or to supplement you with. The other tunes on here, gosh, The Bum Is Mine, and that's what we kick off the album with. And one of the things, by the way, about albums that I just so wish people would get back to is the fact that not only do you have that flow of start to finish, but you have to come up with the side one and side two start to finish. There's that time to walk over to the player and turn the thing over. But with the tunes in here, with things like The Bum Is Mine or maybe I'm trying to think of some of the ones that really stand out in certain ways. I Feel Good With You, Baby. Also, Hail to the Man.
Yeah.
These are all songs that would have just really given Brian Hyland a different sound for this album coming out. People are going to hear something different.
Yeah.
So I'm curious on any of these, as you made an appointment with Alan and then you went in to start recording, do you recall what tune or tunes, or I'm trying to think of a point where you would have had to realize, oh my God, yes, this thing is coming together. This is a new, rich sound.
the tracks, like, for instance, Hail to the Man, I think he wrote that originally for John Mayall.
Oh, wow.
And, but then I heard recently that Alan was writing about himself. He was writing about himself in that song. You know, burn your hand, didn't it hurt? It's got great lyrics to it. So it's like somebody living alone, you know, Hail to the Man. It's not Hail, H-A-I-L, it's H-A-L-E. So that's cool. I like that.
Again, so that's another one that deserves another listen due to the subject matter, the fact that whether or not he's singing about himself or written for somebody, that's a new interpretation. Have other tunes that are in the works now that we haven't touched on, whether it's the new material or reimagining of things that may be coming up soon?
Yeah, David, there's one project. I did this cruise a while back earlier this year before the COVID-19 happened, and it was right before it happened. I was on a cruise with Rocky and the Rollers, a whole bunch of different people, Freddie Cannon, Johnny Tillotson, the Tokens.
Oh, Johnny, sweet.
And Lala Brooks from the Crystals.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it was the last night we were doing a finale, and everybody had to do an extra song, you know, in one place where it was like, I think, a skating rink, or they had ice there at a certain point.
Okay.
That's where a lot of the shows were. We were all in the same dressing room together because we were on one after the other. So Lala says to me, Brian, I'd like to record something with you sometime. I'd like to do a country song with you. So I thought about that, and, you know, and I was really flattered, you know, because I've known her a long time from on the tours with the Dick Clark Caribbean tours, and, you know, we were like friends.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do a project with Lala. It's not a country song, but it's kind of a gospel song, and I think you'll be surprised when you hear it. It's going to be good.
Yeah. I'm excited to hear you perform with Lala. Any idea when this is going to happen, or is this just a great idea?
It's happening. It's happening right now, you know. Yeah. You know, we have to, like, finish up the recording. It's just like we're starting with this one song that was Lala's idea, and it's like a rearrangement of this particular song. I'm not going to say what it is, but...
Okay.
But it's coming out really good. I'll let you know.
So we're not going to get Brian Hyland singing Do-Do Ron Ron here, are we?
No.
Good.
No.
Okay. Seriously, then. Brian, I appreciate you coming in, and I appreciate the interview. And so many folks could just easily opt to do this by phone. But you live fairly close to the area, close enough to drive in. It was still a bit of a haul for you. But I really, really appreciate it. It's always a bit better. There's great interaction.
Right.
Truly, thank you.
It's nice to be able to look at you in the eye, even though you're in the other room.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, it's like a conversation is real.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Makes it better each time. And so thank you again. It's been music from and conversation with Brian Hyland for the entirety of tonight's KVC Arts. Thanks again to Brian, and thank you very much to Bodie Hyland, making the arrangements, sending music, and driving to the KVCR studios. Here at KVCR, thanks to Lillian Vasquez, Rick Dulock, Sharina Wad, Tim Steidel, and Andrew Caravella. Music beds and themes heard on KVC Arts composed and performed by Sean Longstreet, so thanks to Sean as well. Find many past KVC Arts programs via podcast through iTunes, NPR One, Spotify, and Google Play. And most past shows are at kvcrnews.org/arts. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support.